You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is March 9th, 2020. Fightful.com podcast. We are here to talk Monday Night Raw. And we've got Denise Salcedo with us, master of controversy, Denise Salcedo.
I finally have a nickname, and it wasn't one that I was expecting whatsoever. I don't know why I'm bringing controversy to this podcast.
You are. I have done podcasts with Matt Riddle, with Vince Russo, and you are the most controversial person that I've ever done a podcast with.
That's it, hands down. I think that's a pretty good accomplishment. I'm going to put it in my IMDb facts.
There you go. You know what else is a great accomplishment? They are giving me an enhancement match at Sean Ross Sapp Served Tall, Denise.
I saw that. It is awesome.
Granted, I demanded it. I said, hey, it's my show. I haven't wrestled in about a year and a half-ish. I was like, book me in the worst match type possible. And they said, how about a brawl for all? And I said, I'll do it. A brawl for all. I'll do it. I've written long form features on this thing. I've talked to people about it. And even better, Denise, I get to pick my own jobber. And I have all these people that are like, what about this wrestler? What about that wrestler? No. I want somebody who doesn't even want to wrestle. I want somebody who is so bad that I can embarrass them publicly in front of the several people that will be in attendance.
I'm very excited. That's sad and exciting. I'm excited to see what you're going to wear. Have you thought about your outfit?
Maybe this sweet Dare shirt from the 1990s. Not that you know anything about the 90s, Denise.
Oh, my God. I was about to say, I know about Dare. They came to my school.
Okay, well, apparently Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch did not come to your school.
Are we starting off with that today?
Fair. Instead, we'll start off by saying Sean Ross Sapp Served Tall added a primetime pro wrestling championship match. O'Shea Edwards defends against the man that Cody Rhodes said he wanted but couldn't get, Chris Bay, new Impact Wrestling star. Very happy about that. Also, we added Gangrel's Brooding Battle Royal to the show, which I am stoked for.
That's pretty cool. I got to say that. God. First of all, Chris Bay is awesome. I've gotten to work so many shows with him down at Suburban Fight. Literally the coolest person. And Gangrel was pretty interesting. I met him once, and I will say it was just interesting.
Yeah. He's Gangrel's a habitual emoji sender, too.
Really?
Did I ever tell you that? I was setting up an interview, and this is a guy who I watched when I was like 11, 12, and I was like, wow, he's a spooky vampire. And we're setting up an interview, and he's like, LMAO, smiley face. And I was like, oh.
That's hilarious. He's an emoji user. I didn't see that coming at all.
Reminder, guys, if you want to donate a super chat live here on YouTube.com/Fightful, we'll read your question statement on the air. If you want to help us out beyond that, leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications. It's mania season, but we're still recovering from that month that YouTube kicked us off of the platform. So share the link. That all helps to say, hey, I like this podcast. Spread the word. That's the most direct way that you guys can help us. Leaving nice iTunes reviews and all that. We did crack the iTunes charts recently, which is impressive to me because a significant portion of our viewers comes from YouTube. If we were just on iTunes, no problem. We'd probably be there all the time. but this kind of takes up quite a few viewers. So thank you guys for helping us on that end of things, those of you who listen on Apple and iTunes and stuff like that. But we do have some super chats. Throwback sends a massive one, as is tradition. He says, with Edge destroying MVP and using the RKO to make a statement, do you think we'll see Edge more in the next few weeks try to make this feud more impactful than it already has? Any word on why Paige might be doing on SmackDown since she was announced? The Edge thing, we're going to talk about that at length, but I think we're going to be playing a lot of cat and mouse with Edge and Randy Orton now that Edge is back. I don't think Edge is going to be able to get a hold of Orton, and he shouldn't be able to until WrestleMania. I think something has to be set where they're like, okay, you can't touch Randy Orton until this time. I think they got to give us a reason why Edge can't beat the living shit out of him on any given weekday.
You know, they've been really creative overall the last few weeks with this specific feud, and it feels that every week we're getting something different, and I'll mention more of my thoughts on what happened tonight, but I gotta say that with, what, 3 Raws left until WrestleMania, it seems that they can pretty much go any direction, and I want to see Edge on every single Raw and leading up until that WrestleMania. Yeah.
What about Paige? She was announced this week as confronting Bayley after weeks of all this trash talk. Now, Nia Jax has said that she's ready to go. She's tweeting out, Vince, come on. I could think of far worse things than Paige managing a Nia Jax, but...
She's been good at that managerial role, so I don't see why not. Like, keep it going, keep her doing something, and keep that consistency. I think that with Paige coming in, I think she still has, like, so much to offer. Like, so much.
Yeah, I think that would be a good spot for her, too. And Nia doesn't cut the best promos. Paige can help her out with that, especially if it's a heel act. I think it could go a lot better. Paige is more natural as a heel. Anakin JMT says, Sean, you lose points for it not being a tall for all. It's actually called a brawl for tall, actually. They legit named it that because we added kicks to it, so we had to name it something else. And our throwback says, does Denise know who Belle Biv DeVoe or New Edition are?
Belle Biv DeVoe and you did. Oh my God. You guys are scaring me. Why did this have to happen to me? I don't even want to be a part of this.
Oh my God.
I quit Fightful. I'm done.
How I want to know, like, I want to do like
a. I want to know what Denise knows show now. And yeah. People are just going to realize that clearly I've been living under a rock. I know nothing in life.
Well, see, and this would probably be something more for either my personal channel or your personal channel. I don't know the legalities beyond like showing music videos or clips of them and you reacting to them. But I would love to just do a show where I'm showing you good R&B music from the 1990s. And you're like, I've never heard this. It's like those kids react videos, except you're an adult.
I do reaction videos, and it depends on the person. Sometimes they share copyright with you, share monetization with you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just flat out turn off monetization.
Okay.
So it really just depends on that sort of thing. Some videos I've gotten away with it. Some videos I have not.
Fair. I think that'd be a fun video. But we've got to talk about Raw, I guess. But wait.
Thank God. I'm actually excited to talk about Raw just so that I won't have to be put on the spot.
Well, yeah. You know, the funny thing is somebody was missing from Raw tonight. A big somebody. Brock Lesnar, Shayna Baszler. They weren't on Raw, but neither was Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg was not on Raw tonight, Denise.
Oh my God. Okay. So I saw your tweet. Okay. So right after last week's show, I got a bunch of people that were sending me clips and I was like, oh yeah, I'll get to this. Like I'll have a whole week. I'll look at the stuff, blah, blah, blah. I kept procrastinating. And I never clicked on any of the links. I'm so sorry because everyone sent them to me. That's so nice of everyone. And today I saw your tweet. And I was reading the rundown. I was like, oh, let's see what we're going to talk about. And then I see does Denise know who Marky Mark is? And I'm like, crap. Like, I was hoping I wasn't going to get asked about this. So then right away, I go on my phone and I'm like, I go on YouTube right away. And the first thing I check is the Good Vibrations song. So I watched the music video, and BTW, the Good Vibrations I was talking about was definitely the Beach Boys one, because I went back and re-listened to that one. So that's the Good Vibrations that I know. And I know the Beach Boys because I love Full House.
I had all these scrubs in the mentions going, oh, it's even more offensive that Sean doesn't know who the Beach Boys are. I know who the friggin' Beach Boys are, you weenies. I knew the song. I just said it. I didn't care about it. I didn't like it. And saying, oh, Sean not knowing who the Beach Boys were, that was 30 years before I was born. 20, 30 years before. This was like... Denise was alive during Good Vibrations.
No!
Yeah.
Okay, when did Good Vibrations come out? Or when did all that happen? What, 90, 91? 91. I was born in 92, okay?
A year before.
That's
a
whole year before I was born.
A whole year.
Okay, so the music video was horrible, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
My instant thoughts are, he's super naked in this video. Wow. Not bad, not bad, but wow. And he looks exactly like John Cena is all I can think of. And there was just some horrible clips in there where I was like, this would not fly in 2020. Like these very like macho-esque clips showing off the body, being with the women, lifting up the weights. I was like, oh no, that's not going to work this year. That was pretty much... Oh, okay, so then I Googled fun facts about Mark Wahlberg, and there were some, like, not very good facts in there.
He's got a checkered past.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. I was like, okay, well, that's not what I was expecting.
Mark Wahlberg did some shit in his day, Denise. Yeah, he... Yeah, it's wild, but I'm sure we'll talk about this again, but we do have Monday Night Raw to talk about. So one of my biggest pet peeves is having baby faces come out and go, watch this video. I hate it. You can do it during the entrance. You can do it before. And they stopped doing it for a long time because it was bad. They did it for years. And they stopped a couple years ago. But I think they're going to bring it back. And the reason I think they're going to bring it back is because it happened twice tonight. Becky Lynch and AJ Styles. When video number one came back, people were chanting, Becky, Becky. When video number two came back, they were chanting for The Undertaker. I'm like, well, if it gets a reaction, they're going to keep doing it.
Well, also in Charlotte, they played the package before about Rhea. But she kept mentioning it, though, in her promo. Like, I heard package like three times in there.
Boy, when we talk about that.
So I feel like it's been something that's been happening more consistently every week. Every week. Mm-hmm. I don't like it either. I really don't. It's like, I've seen it. I know it. I covered it. Let's move on.
Yeah, and I think that Becky Lynch cut a really good promo out of here. It was mixed with comedy and seriousness. She said that she knew Shayna as a constipated-looking robot from NXT. But the video package of Shayna, it's like every feud that goes for that title, except for Asuka. Like, they cut this promo, and then they pause, and they go... bitch.
Yeah.
Every time. And I'm like, man, there's no way that a woman wrote this promo. Like, any of them. Like, oh my God.
Well, see, the B word as a female is no longer used in that sense. It's now kind of done in a complimentary way where friends have changed the meaning of the B word. And sometimes it's funny because you get along with certain girls that way and you're able to talk to each other like that. But certain girls don't get along that way and don't talk to each other like that. But it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't, it's not really what girls use it like that anymore. But this actual promo I thought was good, mainly for the fact where she said, I may be a bitch, but I'm the bitch that runs this division. And in that sense, she did sort of use the word, you know, properly, correctly. Like, oh, she's – okay. The point is that I actually really enjoyed that line. But, again, we have several weeks, like three more Raws until this, to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking to myself, I feel that Becky Lynch, Shayna should be – they have the opportunity to make this a real, real, real hot feud. And I feel that it's really just kicking off right about now. Same thing with Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre. So I feel like they really have to kind of keep these next few weeks strong, especially with this one here.
Yeah, I agree with that. You got to do something to keep it hot. It's okay right now, but how many weeks we got? We got 1, 2, 3. We got 4. We got 4 weeks. Well, 3 Raws.
Three Raws,
as you mentioned, until WrestleMania. Yeah, you got to do something, and you got to heat it up just a little bit more. And I feel like they'll have something up their sleeve. I mean, they did last year for Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky. But granted, that was the main event of the whole show. But that car crash, kicking windows out, police angle, that was hot. That was good stuff. And this needs something like that because a lot of Shayna's critics call her boring. I didn't think last night was boring at all. I know a lot of people did. I thought it was good. I thought it was a hell of a way to establish somebody. But Becky really leans into the fact that Shayna is Ronda Rousey's friend and the fact that Shayna ran through Asuka. I like that because she readily admits it took her years, effectively, to beat Asuka. And Shayna did it in a couple minutes. I thought this was a good segment altogether.
Right. And then I like what they did last night with Shayna. I thought that was exactly what they needed to do with her specifically for this. But when you compare last year's WrestleMania or even how hot everything between Becky and Ronda was, like, it's just nowhere near that level. And granted, you know, the star power is a lot different with Ronda Rousey and Shayna, but I still think that there's no reason for that to be one of, like, the hottest ones coming up. But I forgot what I wanted to say. So, okay, continue. I had one more point. I completely forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that when, you know, this match was announced that it was going to happen, I just kept thinking to myself, who should win this? Because, hey, Becky's on fire. She's the man. She's on top. She's, you know, the face of the company right now. And then there's Shayna, who is essentially this badass that's like one of a kind type of female wrestler right now. And, you know, so many people want to see her on top. But after everything, I think that I've officially come to the conclusion that I do want to see Becky win this match because I've mentioned it before, but I'm that person who likes to see somebody hold the belt for a really long time and knock out these competitors and really just make themselves that next level. And then I thought that another person that could eventually, you know, sort of take over that Becky spot would be Rhea Ripley. So I kind of hope that she gets one over on Charlotte, but Becky gets one over on Shayna.
Yeah, there's quite a few people that need to come up. I think Io Shirai and Bianca Belair both need to come up. You're going to get Nia Jax back. That's 3 pretty solid names to add back to your women's division. Throwback 27 says, with Becky poking the bear talking about Ronda, do you think Shayna might mention it in a promo soon? Do you think Ronda will make an impact somehow? She was at WWE HQ, was Ronda Rousey recently. It wouldn't surprise me to see her in Shayna's corner or something like that, or walking her to the ring. Honestly, I think they should have like an MMA-style walkout for Shayna Baszler, like with the entourage, and have Ronda Rousey there with her. And Ronda Rousey didn't have to sit out there because, quite frankly, if she does, she will be the focus of the match, and you don't want that. But doing an MMA walkout like you see any week and then they walk to the back, I think that would be good. It'd be a WrestleMania type of thing. I think we could see that, and I think Shayna will definitely bring it up.
Yeah, the MMA walkout thing is a great idea. I love that. But I wouldn't want to see Ronda necessarily in her corner just because, like you said, it would shift the focus. And I'd rather have that, like, you know, that nice pop for Ronda if she comes out, I don't know, wherever she decides to come out or whenever she decides to come back. I would prefer to not see her until that point just for that reaction versus having her stand outside in the corner or something.
Has Denise heard of All for One?
They sing that one love song, right?
Yeah, just one.
Okay, they sing that one love song. Okay, yeah,
sing,
I know
they
that.
They sing many love songs, but yes.
Okay, well, I know that one love song.
I Can Love
the
You
main
Like
one.
That. There you go, that one.
No, not that one. Not that one.
That is the one. That is the one.
Is it really? Okay,
that's
never mind.
The one they're known for.
You know what? I think I'm confusing them with KCI and JoJo.
That's KC and JoJo. Oh. KCI.
All right, I'm just working I'm just digging myself into a hole. I'm done. Well, I like that one song that they sing.
KCI and JoJo.
I'm done.
I am seething right now.
I'm so done.
Oh my god. Like, R&B is, like 90s R&B especially, is like my favorite type of music in the world. So this is, I'm about to cry. I've got like a tear about to emerge right now.
Okay, I might as well just like, I only know like the hit R&B songs that I hear on the radio, and like that's it.
Okay. Somebody said I Swear is one of their songs, All For Once. But also, I Can Love You Like That. That was another one of their hits.
Is that I Swear?
Yeah.
By the something. Oh, yeah, I know that one because it came out on that Friends movie with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. What, the,
Just
I forgot.
Friends. That was a good movie.
Just Friends. Thank you.
That was
He's
a good movie.
He's singing that in the entrance in the beginning, or I promise. He's singing something.
Underrated Christmas movie, Just Friends. That's a good one. Rob Wilkins says, does Triple H need to save Ricochet before it's too late? I think he does. I think Ricochet at this point needs to go back to NXT and make a difference instead of doing whatever it is he's been doing on Raw. I'm ready for him to be done with Raw. Or
Agreed.
Move to SmackDown, one or the other.
He needs a break, some off-TV time. Yeah.
Rey Mysterio had some off-TV time. He faced Angel Garza. He defeated Angel Garza. That woman that Angel Garza kissed, tried to turn into it. She was ready to get it, Denise. She was ready to work herself into a shoot and maybe to work Angel Garza into a shoot.
I didn't catch that. I was more entertained by Garza's face because when he was getting rubbed, he just had the like I'm being loved face now. And I was more distracted by that, I think, than her actually trying to get one in on Garza.
Everybody loves Garza that I've talked to backstage. Like, I'll ask people, how is so-and-so doing backstage so far? And like, I'm hearing rave reviews about Angel Garza backstage. I heard rave reviews about him at the Performance Center. A lot of people like this guy.
I got to work with him when I was doing the Aralucha shows, mm-hmm. and that's when I met him, worked with him. I can't tell you like what a nice person he is, but he was like really nice. And how he is in the ring and his personality and that charm is how he is in real life. So you get that, like, automatically, like, he can charm anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Just know that, like, hands down.
That's awesome. It's good to see that someone is getting the success that works hard. You see it in the ring, and they do well outside the ring. But Garza tears Rey up with kicks. There was one out of a headstand in the corner that I loved. Rey's trying to do the thing where you whip somebody into the buckle, and you push up on the ropes and kick out. But he got knocked in the face. There was a pop-up kick. It was really good. Another good spot was an inverted slingshot suplex from Garza. He did a big super kick as well. Then Rey Mysterio went for a destroyer. It gets turned into a 619, and Rey wins with a springboard elbow. I do my match ratings, and quite frankly, I if it hits about a 6 out of 10 on my scale, that's where I'm like, hey, yeah, you guys should watch this match. I put this there, and I don't usually mention those, but I put it here because we got some sense of finality between these two. Now, we're probably going to see this match 342 times after this, but we didn't see Humberto Carrillo. We didn't see Andrade on Raw tonight, and we've seen that match so many damn times. This one felt like it was over. I don't know if it was, but it felt like it, and that hit recommended viewing to me. I thought this was a good match, as is tradition with these guys. I could think of a lot worse things than a fatal four-way at WrestleMania, but I could also see that match turning into something that does not make sense, a lot of weird spots that just aren't good, and I don't know. It seems like the kind of match I wouldn't be excited to see because I've seen them work together so much, but then when they get in the ring, it could either be amazing or really weird. Your thoughts on this match and where they're going after this?
Yeah, so with this match in particular, I enjoyed it. I thought it was better than the first match that they had on Raw when Garza made his debut. And one of the things that I particularly liked about it was that we're seeing a lot of aggression from Garza. A lot of he's doing everything that he does, it came off very well. And so I liked how everything meshed. I loved that one spot that you were talking about where he just kicks Rey in the face. When Rey slid out of the ring, that was kind of cool to see as well. It was a fun match. And in terms of where they're going with this, I don't know, but I will say this, though. I had two thoughts while watching this match. One of them is I feel that Angel Garza has probably changed WWE's plans. I don't know what plans they had for him, but I almost feel like they weren't expecting this much attention on him. I don't know. That's just the thought that I had while I was watching. It kind of felt like maybe he came in and he did that one thing when Andrade was gone. And hey, but now it seems like they're doing a lot more with him, like almost like if he changed their plans. And the second thought that I had was, thank God we had a really good just singles match with no interruptions, no this happened, no weird finish, nothing. It was just a good singles match because that is what I like to see. I wouldn't mind seeing this match again. I wouldn't mind seeing it a few more times.
WWE is, you always hear they're looking for their big Hispanic star and all that stuff. And to me, I don't think they should look for their big Hispanic star. I think they should just bring up good Hispanic wrestlers that fit in and, or don't fit in, they stand out. Rey Mysterio stands out. Andrade stands out. Boy, does Angel Garza stand out. And not to compare him to another Latino wrestler, but he has that, like, he has that Eddie Guerrero vibe where you can see on his face how much he likes what he's doing. You can see how much he enjoys performing. Like, he can't take that smile off of his face. And that's part of what I like about Eddie Guerrero. And when Eddie Guerrero had to turn it on and he got angry, you saw him and you were like, oh, shit. Now, he turned it on. He's mad now. It takes a lot to get him mad, so we know to take him seriously now. And Garza has that. Like, when he gets livid with somebody in the future, we're going to know that there's a reason for him to be angry because he's got that just smile and that charm about him. And I just love this dude, and I love everything that he does. And Rey Mysterio continues to be awesome.
And I can't wait, like, once all of this is done and, you know, we move on with Angel Garza, I cannot wait for them to actually not always keep the Hispanics and the Hispanic storylines together and the Hispanic matches together. Branch people out, man. Like, I can see Angel Garza working with so many different people on the roster. Like, come on. Like, after all of this, we've gotten our, you know, kicks and thrills and all of that. Let's go ahead and branch out.
Yeah, when I would recommend that Garza team with Humberto, I had people say, oh, you just want to put the Hispanics together. I'm like, no, they're cousins. They're freaking cousins. Like, it would make sense to give Carrillo some edge, and they are cousins. But Garza is just so much better. That's how you learn from people. You travel with them. You train with them. All that stuff. You perform contract tampering on MLW with each other like they have in the past. Look at that. He went to a meeting with WWE with Angel Garza, and he got signed. Look at that. Hot dog. We got a bunch of super chats.
Oh, nice.
Hannah Moore says, this is for Denise. She brightens my Mondays every week. You're such a good sport, Hannah. Denise. That's what I like about Denise. She is a good sport. Shane Haas says, my love, do you ever dream of candy-coated raisin drops? Listen, man, I know you're trying to stump me, but it ain't going to work. You're not going to hit me with Candy Rain by Soul for Real and act like I don't know what that is. You, little Sean Ross Sapp in Maysville, Kentucky, loved it. My friends, I was listening to R&B when I was like six. Don't even try me. DJ Cass says, Humberto and Ricochet on main event tonight, Dame. Which leads into our next super chat. Ernie Vasquez said, thoughts on MVP possibly managing Ricochet and Cedric? I would love that. If you're not doing anything with either one of them, do something with both of them. They are both way too good to be in the spots that they've been in the last 2 weeks. We're going to go ahead and talk about Riddick Moss. He runs right through Cedric. He hit him with a nasty fallaway slam, but that's it. He continues his longest reign of the 24/7 title ever. And I mean, I get it. Wow. Riddick Moss has been in the PC for a long time. So long that they had to be like, listen, if you re-sign with us, we'll bring you up. And he did, because his contract was almost up.
I just don't get why they should just literally drop the whole 24/7 rule and just make it like a TV title match where every week we know we're going to get this match instead of it being the 24/7 rule. Like, they should change it already at this point. I mean, they're doing it every week now. The last few weeks we've actually had a match for the 24/7 belt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the 24/7 rule. I love that they suspend the rule during the match. I love that because that makes a lot of sense. Oh, Ricochet's gonna get the hell out of there. Cedric does too. It's just, oh my God. But MVP managing them? I love that. Quite honestly, I wish they'd send Apollo Crews back over to Raw so he could team with Tozawa and reform Titus Worldwide.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I like that.
And they're paying Titus to not wrestle right now. They're paying a whole lot of people to not wrestle. Heath Slater was home for 4 months. Bo Dallas hasn't been wrestling for 4 months. Tamina has wrestled once in the last 3 or 4 months.
Like, yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I feel like if you don't have anything to do with this person or you just don't see anything in them, just let them go. Yeah. Save your money. Let them go.
Yeah. And give other people raises. Do something.
Yes.
Throwback says Ricochet versus Cole for the NXT title would be amazing. Do you think AJ calling out Taker and saying stuff about family and Michelle McCool is the right move? Let's talk about that. AJ Styles comes out and he says that Undertaker has stuck his nose in his business again, but he's not the Undertaker anymore. He's just a beaten down Mark Calloway. That was a nice approach. Then he drops the bombshell, Denise. Undertaker's married to Michelle McCool.
I had no idea.
He's like, and I'm sitting there like, oh no, you didn't.
He did, like, the whole Ronda Rousey video where she was saying that this was fake and this was real. And didn't she say, like, oh, Melissa Santos and Brian Cage are married? Yeah. Hey, he took that out of Ronda's playbook.
Oh, man. It seems to me like somebody on the writing team got into an argument with somebody else on the writing team and somebody said, oh, something about your wife. And Vince went, oh, God, that's the shit, pal. And ever since then, he's like, all right, we got to run a bunch of wife angles. Mike and Maria, Rusev and Lana. We got to do Edge and Beth, Michelle and Taker. Oh, we got to do it. Becky and Seth even. Oh, hot damn, pal. All over the place, man. That's all the time, dude. I'm like, it's...
I mean, at least it's not like anything weird like the whole Mike and Maria thing and the whole Bobby Lashley, Rusev, Lana thing. It could be weird. This is just like bringing the wives in, but at least it's not like that level weird. I love this. I love this.
I did too.
Well, I didn't expect AJ Styles to go this direction. So this came at me out of nowhere. I didn't expect it at all. But what I mainly loved is that he hit all these points. He talks about his real name. He says that he should have retired. He mentions his wife. He says that he hopes he dies in the ring or something like that. He pulled out all of those things that, you know, people just don't say out loud. But he said them and the crowd reacted to them. Like, they had he had massive boos. People were pissed and you can feel it. Like, people were like, oh no, that was wrong. He said a line and it got the actual reaction that it was supposed to get. So I loved all of this.
Yeah, outside of the overuse of the wives thing, I thought this was really awesome. I thought it was really good. I thought they were going towards Aleister Black and Undertaker against the OC because, quite frankly, Undertaker's better in tag matches, but if he's not good in this singles match, I don't need to see him in another singles match again. Granted, I've been there with the Undertaker before where I didn't need to see him in singles matches, but I guess we'll see how it works. And to throwback's point, yeah, I think Ricochet versus Cole for the NXT title would be awesome. That is an NXT TakeOver main event. And it's something befitting of Ricochet. And they're on cable TV. They could do a lot worse than having a guy from Raw get moved over to NXT. And they could say, hey, this is the trade we orchestrated to get Shayna Baszler on Raw.
Yeah, I think I would like that move because I sometimes feel that there's a lot of talent on NXT that is kind of sort of along the same lines. So I feel like there could be a bigger shift and change in terms of...
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Of how people are being portrayed on the show. So I think that Ricochet would be somebody that would sort of mix that up.
Does Denise know who the Fresh Prince is?
Yes, I watched that show. Okay, that's not that loony.
That was a layup. That was a layup throwback. I appreciate
that. That was a good one. Okay,
throwback is my boy. He's generous. The most generous dude to us. That was a layup. He was being nice to you, I think.
Thank you. That's true. And it's funny because the show that I've been actually rewatching as of late is Boy Meets World. I'm like on the 5th season. I've just decided to rewatch and it's made my life so much better.
What did you think of the Rhea Ripley in Raymond James Stadium video?
I liked it. Thought it was really cool.
I did too. You know what the opening lyrics of her theme song are, Denise?
No, I don't remember. Why don't I remember that?
And let me tell you, Denise, if your pube tremors are saying that to your nutsack, you should probably check out Manscaped's new Lawnmower 3.0. Now, I'll just clarify, they are not a sponsor this week, but I'm looking to renew them. And when you use the code FIGHTFUL, you get 20% off. So the more purchases you give them this week, the more likely they are to renew us for a sponsorship. And Denise, they hit me up today. And you know what they said?
What did they say?
They said, that advertising segue was dope.
Did they really? That's
exactly what they said to me.
No way.
They did. But you know what Charlotte Flair came out and said about that video package? Did you hear her? She said,
yeah.
She said, ladies and gentlemen, did you see that package? And I was thinking, Andrade must have been in the back taking Blue Chew or something. Like, what? The last time I've heard anybody say that was in relation to BlueChew.com. They're going to be saying it nonstop. They're going to say, ladies and gentlemen, did you see that package? And the irony of that, Denise, is that's not discreet at all. That you're just telling the world. But that I'm going to be honest. There are pros and cons of Blue Chew. It gets delivered straight to your door discreetly. But your performance is going to make your partner go out and say, hey, everybody, did you hear about this dope dick? It was from Blue Chew. So it's going to come to your door discreetly, without a doubt. People are going to know that you got a dope dick. I don't know what to say. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but they're way better than them. It's chewable so it can get into your system a lot faster so you can take it on a full or empty stomach. It's cheaper than Viagra and Cialis. Why is that? Because you don't have to go to the pharmacy. You don't have to go to the doctor's office. You don't have to schedule an appointment. So it's cheaper in time and money. The online physician consult is free and it's fast. They'll determine what active ingredient is best for you and you don't have to have a problem to use this stuff. It's a performance enhancer. Be like Mark McGuire in 1998. Just slug it. You know who Mark McGuire is, Denise? Of course you don't. Sammy Sosa. You know who Sammy Sosa is?
I'm out.
Damn, at least Barry Bonds. You live in California, right?
Oh, I do know Barry Bonds.
All right, well, you'll get a big head like Barry Bonds. Because you're going to get those PEDs for your dick. And you'll get it absolutely free. Well, $5 shipping. When you use that code FIGHTFUL, just go to BlueChew.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at BlueChew. Let them know you heard about them from us. Oh, man. Shane Haas in the Super Chat. By the way, guys, you want your question or statement read on the air? Donate a Super Chat. He says, Sean, have you heard As Yet's cover of Hard to Say? I'm sorry. It's incredible. Any chance of you doing a 90s R&B show? Not anytime soon. Not during Mania season. I will not do that. I have not heard that cover. But plus, I got to put together a Denise compilation at this point.
Oh, no. I don't even want to see the views.
That's going to go in it.
I'm just like petrified because I know myself and I know I'm going to go in. I'm going to watch myself. I'm going to cringe 1 million times and I'm going to read the comments and it's all going to get in my head. And it's just, no, there's no good that can come of it.
So like the thing is, usually I've got a low bar. I mean, we don't have the benefit of the algorithm. So if something hits consistently like 1,000 views, I'll probably continue the series just because I like it and it's good for us. And I can repurpose the stuff. The Epic Triggered Rants always do it. The Blue Chew compilations usually do it. So now the fact that I'm going to have one just of your reactions, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Oh, man. I guess we got to talk about Raw some more.
I don't even know where we are on Raw.
This is my brutality, cut up nutsacks. Ladies and gentlemen, did you see that package? Thank you, Rhea Ripley. Thank you, Charlotte. Ripley comes out, and when Charlotte cuts her off from talking, she just punches Charlotte and leaves.
Oh, you know what? Thank you. Just reminded me something. So when you were doing the when you were talking about Charlotte and the package and Andrade and all of that, I kept thinking, have you seen their photos of them where, like, Charlotte has her face and Andrade is like, yeah? Have you seen those social media posts?
Yes, I have.
I love those. Those are my favorite. They're hilarious.
You mean, like, where they're at the beach, right?
There was two of them. There is what I think they're, like, in a hotel room or something. I don't even know anymore. I feel like I've seen two of them.
I thought this was a good segment. It was simple. You don't want to overexpose it. Charlotte says that Rhea is overhyped. And when Charlotte interrupts Rhea Ripley, like, hey, I'm the veteran here. You're not. Shut up. Rhea just punches her in the face and leaves. I thought this was good.
This was great. I liked this a lot. But you know what, though? I will say this. I did expect a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I don't know if I expected a little bit more or if I was wanting more afterwards. So maybe I haven't cleared the lineup on how I felt about that. But I would have preferred that after Rhea, you know, essentially, like, punched her in the face, that afterwards, you know, they just went for, like, a full beatdown or something. Or even when she left, I was kind of hoping she would run back. Because I kind of felt like it left me wanting a little bit more from this. I kind of felt that there was no real reaction for what Charlotte was saying at the beginning of her promo from the crowd. So I was a little bit disappointed in that. I know we got some mixed reactions for Charlotte here. But yeah, I was kind of expecting a little bit more. And I kind of thought that it fell a little short in comparison to Becky and Shayna.
It does feel like to me that almost every WrestleMania match is being booked out evenly as far as prestige. Like, I don't see one that's a runaway. Maybe Edge and Orton, but that's just because it's better. Whatever Rollins and them are doing, that's getting the most time, and I don't think it should. But I think they're doing a good job of not overexposing Mania programs right now. Marco Dominguez says, here's a super chat to go towards the Denise compilation.
Hold on. Thank you.
How sweet. It's blurred. It was blurred.
Oh, man, it was blurred. All right, well, happy face.
There you go. Aaron Chase fan says, AJ and Taker, next week contract signing. No! Lately, their contract signings have been a little bit different, but yeah, I ain't big on contract signings.
No, I'm not big on them either. Although I am excited for Austin next week, that's for sure.
Yeah, we saw a Heyman Drew McIntyre video. This was a good way to buy another week. Whatever. I'm cool with that. Up next, we saw Drew McIntyre against Rowan. And when Rowan came out, I was like, oh, we're continuing this, huh? Oh, but we weren't. We weren't.
Wait, I think we skipped Bobby Lashley, Zack Ryder.
We'll get there. Oh, we'll get there. Okay. I don't go in order. I group stuff together. Drew smashes whatever's in the cage, which I say whatever's in the cage because Tom and Jerry Lawler are like, whatever's in that cage? We saw a freaking robot spider last week, Denise. We know what's in there. And people were saying, are you sure that's what? Are you sure? Well, then WWE's Twitter comes out and posts a little spider emoji and like a cancel block button. And I'm like, my God, man. Don't treat us like it's stupid. Now, I did want to see this thing get claymored into the audience, but whatever.
I can imagine the fan reactions for that. Like, who catches the robot tarantula? Oh, yeah. That would have been hilarious. Probably also a liability, but hey.
That's the ultimate collector's item right there. That would have fetched money.
Yeah, for reals. But here's the thing. I think that if they were going to do this, they were just going to destroy it. They should have just done it before the big reveal. At this point, it could have been a lifelong WWE mystery. What was ever, you know, 20 years from now, what was ever an Eric Rowan's cage? We'll never know because Drew McIntyre ruined it. I think had he done that and then we never heard from it again would have actually been a lot better than the tarantula reveal and then him destroying it the week after. And that was even expecting. Why isn't the tarantula running out afterwards? Come on.
Rowan won. Rowan got beat, by the way. Womp. Walter says, why is Paige coming back this Friday? Is she cleared to wrestle? We talked about that a little bit earlier. No, she ain't cleared to wrestle. She'll probably never be cleared to wrestle unless there's a miracle surgery that develops. But, hey, Edge got there. But from what I understand, Paige's is a little more dire than Edge. Throwback 27 says, does she know who Tonic is? Probably not. You wanted more? There's a lot of good songs from them. Empire Records. I don't even know what that is. Having Black versus Seth hurt Aleister or help him? Does Aleister go for the U.S. title? Well, they moved Aleister right out of the AJ thing and on to this massive 8-6 whatever man tag that we can go ahead and talk about right now. Backstage, Kevin Owens throws his luggage at the Disciples and attacks, but quickly gets beaten down. Him throwing that suitcase was amazing. I loved it. I popped for it. But later, Rollins tries to recruit Aleister Black, and Black declines. I think whatever Aleister Black is doing here is real weird, because they had him come out, he did this match, it was a DQ, and then he just hit the bricks, Denise. He was nowhere to be found. What the hell?
Yeah. For a second there, when they said that this was going to turn into an 8-man, I was like counting. I was like, wait, where did he go? I was like, what did I miss here? Where did he go?
Yeah, I was like, is one of the Viking Raiders still sick or something? Like, what's going on? Because one of them was out. But I was like, they wrestled last night. So, no, they're not.
But, you know, it's funny. But I really like what they did backstage with them with Seth Rollins and Aleister, because at first I thought, oh, that would be great if he went in and joined up with them. Like, he's got that look that I feel will just fit right in. But then when he basically said no, I thought, well, what a great position to be in. You know, him and Seth could, you know, do a whole lot there. And this is such a great spot for him to, like, really be that person that's like, I'm not going to be that, you know, you're a joke, you're the Messiah, or whatever. Like, I just feel like they can do so much with this.
And they burn through so many first-time matches on Raw. They just never save anything for a future pay-per-view. It's so frustrating. They could have done this next week or 2 weeks from now. I didn't need to see the Disciples back on the show tonight, much less for a half an hour, against a team that I've seen them now face 4 times in 12 days. Here's that match. It was very good, very exciting. Montez Ford has a good drop kick. I love the spot where Akam caught Eric and they stared each other down. Murphy hit a Meteora. Dawkins hit a good spear. Eric does Lars Sullivan's finish to Rollins. Ford hits a good frog splash. And then when Ford does a Tope Con Hilo, Rollins stomps him. Good match. Didn't even hit recommended viewing for me because I've seen every combination so much, seen so much, I just can't possibly care about it anymore. Also, commentary is so patronizing. when I hear the King go, Monday Night Pariah, like Montez Ford hasn't called Rollins that every week. And when Eric picks up Ivar for like the 50th straight week and King goes, are you kidding me? No, King, I'm not. You've seen it every week. I'm so done with this. I never want to see these guys. I don't want to see Andrade face Carrillo again. I really don't want to see Andrade and Rey, even though, I'll let it pass. They're amazing matches every time. I don't want to see Roman Reigns and Corbin every time. I don't want to see Street Profits and Murphy and Rollins ever again. I don't. Ever again. It's so frustrating, Denise.
Yeah, I can tell you that. For this match, I always have, like, notes for everything. This match, all I wrote down was the actual match. Like, I was just, like, watching, but it was kind of that thing where you're like, okay, where is this going to lead to? Like, how is this going to end? Because that's all I really care about at this point, because I already seen this match, or, you know, like you said, in different variations all this past several weeks. And hey, at this point, we're just watching to see what is going to actually end up happening at the end to help continue further their storyline. So that's pretty much it with that. So I would definitely be on the same page where if I see this, I'm tuning out.
Yeah, I like to finish Rollins getting the stomp. It really seems like they focus on his interactions with Montez Ford, which is cool. Kevin Owens comes back, beats up Rollins, gets jumped, and he takes out AOP and Murphy. But then he gets stomped, and I did like that Rollins made Murphy leave the ring. It seems like he had some control, some power over Murphy, and then does another stomp. I like the finish, and I like the aftermath. It's just, this could have happened without the match to me. They could have done something else. They could have just done a brawl with these people would have been better than seeing another match between these two, between these guys, all of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah. Marco Dominguez says, is there any chance we get anywhere near an HBK Taker level match with AJ in the slot? No, I don't think we're going to get anywhere near that match. I mean, we're 10 years removed from that match. Undertaker can't have a match like that anymore.
But I will say this. If anybody could possibly make that happen and make it into a miracle, it would be AJ Styles.
I think AJ or Daniel Bryan are probably your best bets there. Yeah,
exactly.
Guys, remember to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. That is our premium service. That's the most direct way to support us. If you don't feel like sending a super chat or anything like that, you can subscribe to Select. I do my Q&A show this week. You can ask as many questions as you want. I hang around and answer all of them. 7 subscribers away, and we're going to make that a weekly show. I dropped the Fightful Backstage Report podcast this week. Every week, I give you about 20, 25 minutes of exclusive news you'll only hear at Fightful. I give you contract injury updates, stats. This week, I gave you updates on Danhausen's contract status, wrestlers who talked to me about like issues with NWA, Impact, and New Japan working together. We got stuff on Jazzy Gabbert, why Willie Mack left the NWA, Vince being backstage, who hasn't been backstage, lots of Ring of Honor news that you'll only get there. We have Alex's Sour Graps and just a ton of exclusive news that goes straight to you. It is the best value. I think it's probably the cheapest value for an exclusive wrestling news service that there is. Go check it out, FightfulSelect.com. As you mentioned, Bobby Lashley ran through Zack Ryder. I'm fine with this. I'm glad they're using Zack Ryder. They're calling the old Yokosuka Cutter the Dominator, even though it's not the same move. I'm good with Bobby Lashley getting a quick win. I mean, they've beat him down so much, and he's been involved in stuff that nobody cares about for quite a while now.
Yeah, this was just a sleeper match. Zero interest at all for this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, good for Lashley, I guess. Sure. Kabuki Warriors come out. I love them. They cut this promo so well. I had somebody compared them to the Iconics, and I'm like, they're not the same just because they're heels. They're not the same.
They're very, very, very different. But I will say this. I didn't love their promo today, though. I loved all their other ones. This one came across a little annoying to me. So in that sense, I got that comparison. But it didn't come across as some of the other stuff. And I've been loving everything that they've been doing the past few weeks. Even last night, how Asuka was reacting with Shayna. I loved that interaction. But this one was just a bunch of screaming for me.
Oh, I liked it. I liked Kairi, over dramatically crying about about Asuka's injury and kind of blaming the fact that her wrist has been hurt because she came back with the wrap on what happened last night. And I really dug that. Up next, we get Liv and Natalya coming out and teaming. Okay, sure. Liv has some good offense. I sure wish I got to see more of it, but I love that drop kick on the ropes. It looks like $1 million. People can sell it really well. Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan want to see more of it, apparently, because they come out to ringside. My only other notes on the match, Kairi has a great axe kick. Asuka pulls a bunch of submissions out. And Ruby and Sarah start to fight outside. Liv dives on top of them. That was cool. Kabuki Warriors beat up Natty for the win. So I like where this is going. Natty can't... I hope it keeps going where Natty keeps trying to team with people and they keep costing her the match. And then she's got to bring Beth out. And I hope sometime as we head to WrestleMania, on the way there, we get Liv, Ruby, and Sarah in an honest-to-God, good triple threat match that goes 10, 11 minutes, something like that. Give them some finality and let them move on unless you're doing it at a pay-per-view, because it ain't happening at Mania, Denise.
Yeah, and I feel like the interest really isn't there. I know my interest really isn't there for that. But here's the thing though, like for WrestleMania, like they always try to get everyone on the card, so I almost feel like we are probably going to see that for WrestleMania.
Oh man. I can see Kabuki Warriors, Divas of Doom and something else. It's going to be such a long show. But I mean, I thought last year at WrestleMania, they did a pretty good job of pacing some of those matches. Like, we had a couple squash matches on that show last
year. You know what? WrestleMania last year felt a little... It definitely felt a little long, but not... It was mainly, like, the last, like... I think, like, the last two or three matches that kind of just felt like, oh, man, yeah. I've been here for a while. But overall, like, I think I'm just... Maybe it's just me. I'm used to sitting those very long hours watching, so maybe for me it didn't feel that long, but I did feel it a little bit towards the end.
Because they had that sprint with Lesnar and Rollins, but, I mean, I remember, like, Joe crushing Mysterio, Balor beat Lashley in about 4 minutes, Corbin and Angle only went, like, five or six minutes.
I think my soul was, like, sucked out of me after the Kurt Angle retirement thing. That one killed my soul. Like, that was bad.
I mean, I do think they should keep the women's battle royal and the men's battle royal. I like those. And if you want to get everybody on the show, keep those two matches. But, I feel like WWE for a while would do a thing where they're like, oh, we're doing too many triple threats, too many fatal four ways. And they were like, okay, let's load it up with like 8 or 9 singles matches. Because, I mean, last year they had Neeson Murphy, Joe Mysterio, Reigns McIntyre, Triple H Batista, Corbin Angle, Balor Lashley, Kofi Bryan, Shane Miz, AJ Orton, Rollins Lesnar. They had like 10 singles matches. To me, you can do 2 battle royals. You can do 2 or 3 tag matches. And then do like about 5, you know, a couple triple threats and a few singles matches. You don't have to have, I don't know. I know they want to do the mano a mano thing, but whatever.
No, I could definitely go with them chopping out a few of the matches, especially if some of them are just going to be like throwaway matches. You know, if they're really not going to be anything special, then hey, just take them out. I'd rather see something else.
Well, this probably should have headlined the show. MVP says he's becoming a manager and he wants to manage Edge. He babbles a little bit, but he's killing time until Edge shows up on the Titantron, and he is mad. And I love this because when Edge pulled up, he didn't get that much of a pop. But then when he came out, he got a big pop. And he calls out Orton. MVP says, Edge, you're too worried about Orton, just like your wife was. Edge doesn't take kindly to that. He beats up MVP. Orton had came out, but he gets run off by Edge. And this beatdown was real good. He does the arm triangle, the standing arm triangle. For those of you who haven't seen it, Jake Hager's using it in AEW. You don't usually do it standing in MMA, but Edge did it a little bit better. You reach around and then you grab the back of your own head, so to speak, to apply pressure. You're cutting off one carotid artery with your arms. You're cutting off their other carotid artery with their arms. and Edge is able to do it, and he establishes it, and it's a finish now. Like, you see him put MVP to sleep, then he does a concerto, the crowd chants one more time, and I love that he did it again, Denise. He did it again. I thought this was another good Edge Orton angle.
This was fantastic. I loved it. So I loved it because it felt real. Edge came out and he was pissed. He was angry and I felt that. I felt that he was angry and he was pissed. There's so many times where guys come out and they're, oh, I'm so mad. Mm-hmm. But they're not really mad. And you know they're, you don't really feel it. So I like things like this where it's actually making me believe that, you know, that Edge is pissed, you know. So I enjoyed all of it. I like the fact that he was basically showing off to Randy Orton saying, yeah, you did this to me, but watch me. I can do this too, and I can do it worse. If you think you're the deadly psychotic killer one, well, you know what? So am I. So I like the level of mind games that they were playing here. This was good. I wasn't a big fan of the big stare down and then the after when he goes to the back and he looks for Randy Orton and then he finds out Charlie tells him that he leaves. And I was like, well, yeah, because you guys stared at each other for so long. Of course he left. I could have done without that part. But for the most part of it, I really, really enjoyed all of this. I think that they've been doing a consistent job every single week with this. And I'm liking a lot with what they're doing with it.
So we are going to get this at WrestleMania, and it's not confirmed yet, but it will be. And effectively, six matches are announced right now, and to my point about singles matches, they're all singles matches so far, every single one of them. And to me, when you have Goldberg and Reigns, Fiend versus Cena, AJ Styles versus Undertaker, you can't count on those being very long matches. You can't. I mean, Cena hasn't worked a long, dramatic WrestleMania match in a long time, and The Fiend just ain't that good in the ring. and that's okay. Styles and Undertaker, they can't have that one. Goldberg and Reigns sure as hell can't. If Goldberg and Reigns is any longer than 5 minutes, they're doing a real disservice to both men involved and the fans. Baszler and Lynch, the thing is, if that does go really long, you run the risk of exposing Shayna to a lot of the same criticism in which you have gotten in the past. Lesnar, Drew, I could see that one going a while. Rhea, Charlotte, I could see that going a while. But they got to add some other stuff. I'm ready to see some multiple person matches. I'm ready to see some other stuff added to this. Edge and Randy Orton should be a no DQ match. It should be anything goes. It should be a street fight. It should be that. And that's what I want to see.
But it's honestly, I feel that the card is shaping up to be pretty exciting for this year. Like, I was looking at it right before we went on the show, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to that. You know, there's been so many shows where I'm like, you know what? I'm only looking forward to really three matches or four matches or whatever. I can honestly say that right now I have interest in all the matches on the card.
Yeah, and I mean, look at Goldberg, Brock Lesnar from WrestleMania a few years ago. That was one of my favorite Goldberg matches ever. It's one of my favorite Brock matches ever. I mean, in the lead up to that, I was thinking it through my head, and I even did it on a Listen Your Boy show. I was like, there's no reason they can't go finisher, finisher, roll outside, tear a bunch of shit up, go back inside, go to the finish, that's a wrap. And that's what they did, and it ruled. Hopefully that's what Goldberg and Reigns do as well. We have a few super chats as we wrap up. Walter says, could Rollins be the Monday Night Messiah, kind of be similar to the Ministry of Darkness in any way, shape, or form? I'm starting to see those especially evil undertones in Rollins. Like when he made Buddy Murphy leave the ring, like he just pointed out, it's like he has control over Murphy. That's the thing with The Undertaker. He had control over Viscera, who used to be Mabel, Midian, who used to be Phineas, Bradshaw and Farouk, who used to be just normal wrestlers. He had control over these guys and like made them his own. I don't think it'll go that far with Rollins because you don't want it to be a rehash, but I do see him having that control, Denise.
Yeah, and if they go that much with it, I almost feel like it can also become kind of corny. So if they kind of keep playing it right how they're doing it right now. I like that because I have noticed like little things that Seth Rollins will do where I think the one time he was like when he was shaking people's hands, when he was doing this, like just little things that he's been doing, like certain mannerisms is what's giving that, you know, that Messiah, that cult feeling to all of this. And I mean, they could definitely step it up a notch, but overall, I think that I like so far what they're doing with that. I liked it a lot better than at the, in the beginning when all of this started. I remember being on the podcast and being like, I don't like it. I'm not into it. And now I'm actually like pretty into it.
DJ Cass says, here's the thing. Rollins' faction doesn't even have a name yet. There's been no progression with this storyline. Yeah, it's just match, 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 beat down, beat down, beat down, beat down. I want to know why. I want some answers. I call them the disciples just because that's what they call the rest of them. So Rollins and his disciples are what I call them. I'm ready for some progression, Denise. I'm so sick of us having to talk about this every freaking week. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know. Guys, if you all didn't check out our Elimination Chamber post-show with Jeff Hawkins, check out our SmackDown show. It's doing trash numbers. I know nobody wants to hang out on a Friday, but it is up on demand. It's a good time. That show usually goes a lot shorter than this Raw show because it is a two-hour show. But we also had the UFC watch-along. That Joanna fight with Weili Zhang was one of the best fights I've ever seen. Worth checking out. We actually have a couple more Super Chats. Throwback says, what did you think of Owens' tweet about Sami? I like that Kevin Owens is so loyal to Sami Zayn and he's just a real dude, and that's what I always hear. And I mean,
what was the tweet? What did he say?
He said, you can complain about how he won it or his attitude, but Sami being Intercontinental Champion is long overdue. The fact that he won it after growing his hair that rivals Wayne Gretzky's in his heyday makes it worth the wait, though. I'm very proud of you. I like it, the fact that they can be frenemies and rivals and buddies and friends, and it works for them. I love it.
I think. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah. We have one more. Sean, what was the Andrade drama news last week? I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hear any Andrade drama news last week. I've not heard any since the suspension. I've even asked like what he was suspended for and haven't heard anything, so I'll try to follow up on that if you're more specific. Send me a DM or something. But Denise, tell the people where they can find you on social media. We went a little bit over this week. About music.
So you guys can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at _DeniseSalcedo. But more importantly, check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. You can also find that link on my social media channels. I recently uploaded a brand new video that is totally different from anything that I've done before. And it's story time. I literally just tell people how I started watching wrestling. Cause when you're a girl, you get that question a lot. So I just did like a real cute, fun video where I actually draw the story out and it's like an animation. And there's some like little hidden gems in there. But I would really appreciate it if you guys went ahead and checked it out. So far, the people that have checked it out have given me nothing but great feedback. So you guys are more than welcome to do that. And I'm going to keep posting some new videos, especially tomorrow since I'm going to be working on videos all day. So youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. Do not forget to subscribe. March 27th, it's my 2-year anniversary. And I'm 130 subscribers away from 25K. 130. So it's really frustrating. Hopefully I get there soon.
You will get there. I know you will. Guys, go subscribe to her. Show her some love. She has some really fun videos over there. We have one more super chat. And Mike, I appreciate you, buddy, but you asked, could AOP versus APA be fun? If you're playing like WWE 2K, maybe, actually no, because 2K sucks now. In the day, it could have been. It ain't ever going to be good again. Not anymore. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate every single one of you. Listen, your boy is back on Wednesday this week. We did drop a Friday version. Check out the Distraction podcast as well. We've got so many goddamn podcasts, guys. There's something for all of you. We're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.